podcast.
TheKidsWearCrowns.com.
Yo, what's going on, man? This is Ryan McLaughlin. It's time for another episode of the Hot Takes podcast. We got pretty much the full crew in here today, and replacing Keenan is Ron Harris, Ron Quixote, Ronnie the African Librarian. What's good today, sir?
Yeah, I'm glad to be on, man. I've been wanting to do one of these because, you know, we talk sports on the timeline a lot, but I never hopped on the Hot Takes, so I'm glad to be here.
As usual, we got Alex in here today.
What's up, y'all? Ladies, I'm 21 now. That you take whatever you want with that. So, yeah.
Congratulations.
Appreciate it.
And then we got Mr. Wap himself, Mr. Courtney Hendricks. And of course, as I mentioned before, I am Ryan McLaughlin. I'm currently living off of my semi-viral tweet of when the Saints go 7-9. Oh, when the Saints go 7-9. So week one is now in the books as far as the NFL is concerned, and you know, to me, the first Sunday of the NFL season is probably one of I guess, like, the biggest letdowns in sports, because we hype this up and we wait all week for it. And it had some good matchups. Everything was great. But it was like you're always expecting something monumental where, like, every game comes down to the final second. And it's like we got three or four pretty good games and then a bunch of just okay games. So it's all good. I'm happy football is back. And we can kind of keep it moving from here. But let's go ahead and kick things off and start with our best and worst of the weekend. So, Ron, since you're new to the crew today, I'm going to go ahead and let you start first. Give me your best and worst of the weekend.
The worst definitely has to be the bottom half of the NFC East. So I'm going to start with my worst. The Redskins looked like they didn't have a clue at all. So that, it was pretty – my team played them, man. It was bad watching us play them because they were totally clueless. Like, they were terrible. And the Giants – well, I'm going to let Courtney take that. And the best – I feel like people could easily say Kansas City, but I don't buy stock in that. The team I enjoy watching the most actually was Cleveland. True enough, they lost, but there were some interesting things going on. Primarily Duke Johnson, the wide receiver now. That really excites me because that's the best use of his skill set. DeSean Kizer, you know, he made some rookie mistakes, but he also made some plays that a lot of vets can't even make. And they had Pittsburgh on the ropes, and I think they're not going to have like a
that they had them on the ropes.
Like, right.
Pittsburgh. They yeah. That's why, you know, I started kind of in fantasy. I knew that Pittsburgh
was coming. Yeah, man. Like I said, I'm just really excited to see DeSean Kizer progression over the season, and I think Cleveland has their quarterback finally.
All right, best and worst. Let's shift over to Alex. What you got, man?
All right, man. I'm gonna start off. I was kind of with Ron. It could have been very easy for me to go with Kansas City, especially with how much, you know, this show, besides me, trashes Alex Smith. He proved y'all wrong this weekend. I'm gonna just say that. What happened? Where did these Los Angeles Rams come from? A ridiculously overwhelming win over the Indianapolis Colts. And I know that Indy is terrible, but 46-9, man? I didn't know. Goff looked competent out there. I have to give them my best of the weekend. And then my worst, I feel like it should be obvious, man. What did Houston? What happened? You lose 29-7 to the Jaguars. Your offense looks, offense looks anemic. Even when Deshaun Watson was in there, it was, what in the world was that, man? You don't lose 29-7 to the Jaguars. You don't. I'm sorry, but you don't. That was my worst of the weekend. Houston, Texas.
Courtney?
Okay, I'm gonna go with the best was definitely Deshaun and the other young and Corey Coleman in Pittsburgh. I actually, for a second, thought they might win, but I just quickly snapped back to reality. Thought about it. Like, that would really just, like, that would have been the craziest start to the season ever, right there. But, interesting. So, I'm looking forward to that. Look at that. We're looking forward to the Browns game. Kaiser might say the franchise. But, everyone who knows me knows what my worst is.
G-Man.
Yeah, like, I saw it coming, though. Like, I'm not trying to, like I'm sorry, but I really saw laps coming from the show.
I definitely
because we just don't do well without Odell. Like, I don't see how people don't understand. Like, our line is terrible, bro. He affects every part of the offense. He affects people. Like, I feel like Jeff Dad somehow had to lose Zeke. It would affect their offense in the same way because it affects the whole team because it keeps the offense on the field and it keeps the defense rested. Our defense played so many snaps on the first game. And truth be told, they was on for most of the game. They only scored one time, and that was after that pass interference call, which was crazy. I feel like the first one that they were, the one that they didn't call, I feel like that one should have been pass interference call. But, yeah.
Can I kick off a hot take real quick?
Go ahead.
What's that?
All right, take this sentence for exactly what I say. You know, I'm not saying he's better, but you know, out of the young crop of wide receivers, like Odell Beckham is by far way more valuable than anybody else you can name right now. And that's include Julio Jones, that includes Antonio Brown, that includes anybody. Now, I'm not saying better, I'm just saying more valuable.
Yeah, I mean,
because when anybody, you look at it,
yeah.
Odell is damn near like the run game on those short passes that Eli throws to him and he just takes off. Odell stretches the field and pushes the safeties back. Far more valuable than any other wide receiver you can name.
You may be right on that, Ron. Like, honestly, now that I'm thinking about it, more valuable, you may be right.
Because, I mean, those offenses also have other opportunities to see what you can do, who can move one company. And I'm not saying Shep can't, because he had to drive it. Shepard had to drive the gutters all the way down there. He was able to get open to a lot of plays, but too late because the damn offensive line was getting bored over. But another day. But like Ron said, I mean, he takes the top off the defense. And I preach all the time, like, you can't beat a good defensive coordinator without taking the top off the defense. Like, it's gonna be, you can, but it's gonna be very hard. And in recent time, the only time I've really seen it done is Peyton in the Super Bowl.
Okay, let me go ahead and get my best and worst right quick then. We'll move on to the next topic. My best is going to be the Minnesota Vikings. I understand they're playing a bad Saints team. Like, the Saints team, and I'm not saying this just because they're our rivals. This is going to be a bad team. But the Vikings, really out of the entire NFC North, might be the most balanced team. That doesn't mean they're the best, but they might be the most balanced team. As far as having a consistent run game, having a pretty solid defense, having a very strong O-line. And then, you know, I think Courtney or Alex, one of the two of y'all mentioned it during the summer. Bradford doesn't wow you particularly. He did wow the other night. He did move the ball down the field. He did stretch the field. But that was my biggest hangup of him was, you know, is he going to stretch the field or is he going to play it safe the whole time? He stretched the field, and he was as responsible for that Minnesota win as anybody. So they were probably my best. My worst, I'm just going to say collectively, the offensive lines across the league. You hinted at it earlier with Houston. You know, and as much as I clown Tom Savage, that was not completely his fault. Now, he's a bad quarterback, but that loss was not completely on him.
Ryan, where was he on your tier?
Who, Tom?
Yes.
I think Tom was an F. or really? D minus. Yeah, he was down there.
About right. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean Tom is not a good quarterback, and I think the only reason he's still around is because Bill O'Brien wants to work with him. But there's a reason why O'Brien was hesitant on naming Watson the starter. He didn't want him to get Derek Carr. I mean, David Carr, not Derek Carr. He didn't want it to be the exact same situation where, I mean, David Carr's career was destroyed before it began because he literally had no time in the pocket. Talk about New Orleans offensive line was awful. An honorary mention goes to the L.A. Chargers 2-minute drill at the end of the game where the players completely botched what Anthony Lynn wanted them to do in terms of lining right back up on the ball. And they killed about 15 seconds, thus killing any attempt to get deeper in field position. And I know the kick by Mr. Young-ho was blocked.
By Young-ho Koo.
Young-ho Koo, which apparently is pronounced Young-way. But Young-way is not as fun as Young-ho.
Yeah, so, I knew it was Young-way, but Young-ho Koo just sounds so much. Yeah, it just sounds so much better.
Young-ho Koo. But yes, I mean, I know that was a block kick, but you're probably in position for six if you execute that a little bit better. You know what I'm saying? So
that was just such a Chargers way to lose.
It was such a Chargers way to lose because you start mounting this awesome comeback, and everybody's like, oh, okay, Chargers. You know, maybe I'll move to LA and do something. And then, no, you still are the Chargers. And I know somebody had said it this way, and I'm too much of a Philip Rivers fan to admit this, but I think it's time to really start looking at not just coaching being issues in LA, but if it carries over to the next year and you have a brand new coach, it might be Philip.
Sorry. Like I was saying, okay, sorry for the technical difficulties, but I'm a Philip Rivers truther. Like I believe he's one of the most underrated quarterbacks of all time, but his fatal flaw is overcompensating. Like he tries to shoulder way too much in times where he doesn't need to. And that does cause problems. Like the last two seasons, like his turnovers were extremely high. And that was because he was like, damn, we down by 7. Let me force this ball in here when I don't need to. He was doing things like that. And I mean, they were going to suck anyway, but he really did screw them out of a few games like last year.
I mean,
he threw like 4 interceptions.
Yeah, I think so. And plus his arm is failing too. Like his arm is dying right now.
Not as bad as Breeze's arm.
Oh, Breeze's arm is out of here. Like he.
Oh man, can we talk about the AP stare?
but you know what's funny about that though? Like, I don't understand what the hell Adrian expected. What did you expect going to the Saints?
What did I say? The very first episode. What did I say? Adrian Peterson's agent asked him, what did I say? Do you
want to win or do you get paid?
What?
And
what he acted like he wanted to win.
He wanted to get paid.
He said neither.
He said neither.
He said neither.
And to me, and what did I say all throughout the summer when this move happened? What did I say Sean Payton was going to do? I said Sean Payton was going to take Adrian Peterson and he was going to line his ass up in the slot. And he didn't do that, but he damn near came close.
Oh, I got another hot take for you. Let me get this in. I'm sorry, because I'm the guest here. Let me get this hot take in. Because I also used to be a huge Teddy Bridgewater supporter, and I used to defend him. And I used to say the worst thing for Teddy Bridgewater's progression as a quarterback is having Adrian Peterson as his running back.
Okay.
Because Teddy Bridgewater is a true pro style, you know, out the shotgun quarterback. Adrian Peterson, however, you can only put him in I formations. And what did they do with Teddy Bridgewater? They put him under center in I formation. Now, if you're a running back, especially in 2015, 16, if your best player is a running back like Adrian Peterson, and he's a great running back, but he's like a running back from like a previous era, like he doesn't give you anything in the pass game.
Okay.
He'll get off on his 200 yards a game, but I mean, shit, you're going to lose because, I mean, the defense will let you get that. So, if you're putting Teddy Bridgewater in the I formation and hand the ball off to Adrian, like, what are you really doing to make your quarterback better? And we're starting to see that now. Like, there's no use for Adrian in New Orleans because
he can't
line up in shot. Right. Alvin Kamara is probably the best running back on the team right now, and Mark Ingram is just wasting away.
Mark Ingram, they've wasted away.
I really like that pick.
I just don't
understand. They got him after getting
Adrian.
So that's
right. While we're on the Saints, question for everybody in the room. If the Saints have another mediocre 7-9 year this year, is Sean Payton on the hot seat?
He's fired.
I think Payton and Breeze need to go.
Yeah, I mean,
and they're 2 years. They're 2 years past the expiration date, if you ask me.
Well, you know what? I'll take it back. I think Peyton will stay if Breeze goes. But Drew Breeze should have been out of there a good 2 years ago for his own sake.
Right.
He could have been anywhere else and could have been prospering. He could have pulled a Peyton and, you know, gone somewhere with immense talent and pulled off a Super Bowl run. You know, whether he went to Denver or, I mean, there's a plethora of teams around the league who could have used him. Houston,
Denver.
Arizona could have been a great one. Denver, as we mentioned before.
No, the Eagles almost got them as a package deal, right? But it never happened because one of the first people we interviewed after we fired Chip was Sean Payton. And it was going to be like a package deal, him and Drew Brees pretty much. But Drew was like, I mean, I guess he looked at our roster. He was like, nah, y'all trash, so I'm going to go back to New Orleans. But like, a joke from you, Sean Payton.
Why go from one trash situation to another?
Right.
So, either way, all right. So, that's our best and worst. Let's go ahead and check in on the pick-em standings from last week. So, Ron took a stab at it. Went 9-5. 9-5, including Thursday night all the way through Monday Night Football. We had... Now I can't find the rest of my links or whatever, of course. Well, I don't know what I did with them. But never mind that. We won't go over picks.
I remember going
8-5.
I went 6-7.
Before Monday night.
Yeah, I was 6-7.
I think we both picked both Monday night games correctly.
Did anybody pick Kansas City?
Nobody picked Kansas City. We all picked
nobody. Yeah, everybody picked
New England. I can tell you what, though. I picked Detroit. Then I picked Detroit.
You picked Detroit. I picked Detroit.
I picked Arizona.
Okay, let's talk about that game a little bit too, because oh no, he's done. We'll talk about somebody else who should have hung it up 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's gonna be this show. Everybody who should have hung it up a while.
Yeah, I make this analogy all the time. Like Carson Palmer is Cap Rooney in Any Given Sunday.
Oh damn.
Like he's Cap Rooney right now. And thing is, like, I feel like this was the draft where Bruce Arians could have invested in the quarterback for little or nothing. Like, imagine Deshaun Kaiser under Bruce Arians tutelage for like a year, you know, and him being the starter next year. Imagine that. But they didn't really invest in the quarterback position, and they're gonna be, because they're gonna win enough. I think they're gonna win enough games to where they're not in that area to draft like an elite quarterback, and then they're gonna be scrambling to replace them. They'll either have to look in free agency and get like a mid-tier quarterback, or try to get somebody in like the mid to late rounds in the draft.
I feel like Arizona should have drafted Patrick Mahomes. That's just me,
man.
Arizona should have went because I don't think they would. And Arizona should have went. Should have turned it over to Stanton about 2 years ago, and I know that's crazy to say.
No, it's not.
But with the talent that they had there and the way that Stanton has performed and how he fits into Arian's scheme, Stanton could have been a huge, at least a decent upgrade when they could have been a playoff run.
Right.
To me, Stanton's been better than Carson for like 3 years.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm inclined to agree with that. I really am.
I mean, I'm with you on that, but at the same time, Stanton's stealing. Stan.
I mean, he's a career backup, but at the same time, like, he's one of those, like, backups you know you can lean on if you need to, like, Stanton. Matt Moore. Yeah, he's like that type of guy. So
Stanton is a Josh McCown. Like, that's exactly
what he is. He's better than Josh McCown. If I had to go the full length of a season with Josh McCown or Drew Stanton, I would probably go Drew Stanton because Josh McCown will last season.
Josh McCown isn't going to make it through the season, but he will have five fire-ass seasons before he breaks his ankle. That is the Josh McCown rule. He will get five fire-ass games, and then he's going to helicopter to the end zone and going to forget who's on his team afterwards. So, I mean, he had Cleveland on a fucking tear, and then all of a sudden it was like, nope. So I don't understand it. It was like, bro, this is a game against the Jets. Neither one of you niggas is going anywhere. Just lie. Get down.
YOLO.
He's a lunch pail guy. He leaves it all on the field.
Yeah, he left it all on the field.
But nah. Well,
hey, why are we on the quarterbacks discussion? I need to bring up the worst quarterback of the weekend. He was almost my worst of the weekend. You know who I'm going to talk about.
Scott motherfucking Tolzien.
No, not even him. No.
How is anybody worse than Scott Tolzien?
It's Andy Dalton. Absolutely Andy Dalton.
Okay.
All right. Okay, I'm with it. I'm all with it.
Okay.
What?
Okay. You remember
what
him?
Dalton what? Has hit that wall. It, like, in the NFL, if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. And he's hit that wall.
Yep.
Marvin Lewis needs to go. I don't know who their GM is, but that nigga need to go too. Andy Dalton really needs to go because I could close my eyes and throw the ball and I can hit AJ Green. I don't know. Bruh, I don't understand what's going on.
I just want to know how Burfict and Pac-Man. No one has hung up on him.
You would have thought Pac-Man would have slapped the fire out of him by now. Like,
shoot.
Everybody in this game had 2003 NFL quarterback numbers. Flacco went 9 of 17 for 121 yards, a touchdown, and interception. That's an Anthony Wright stat line.
Wow.
Like, and they won by 20.
And this is Cleo Lemon.
This is a Cleo. That's not even a Cleo Lemon stat line, my dude. That is a Spurgeon win stat.
Yeah. I know Tolzien
stat line.
I know Tolzien through two pick sixes, man. Believe me when I say I did not gloss over that. You know.
Can we talk about Scott Tolzien? Because I honestly forgot that Andrew Luck was not playing. And I that's why if you looked on the timeline, I was the one that picked the Colts like a dummy, because I thought Andrew Luck was gonna be playing. I was like, oh man, Rams are trash. Like, you know, Colts gonna run all over these fools. No, Scott Tolzien come out there and put on his best Ryan Leaf.
Bruh.
And I don't. They got their ass beat so bad that
Chuck Pagano. Chuck Pagano thought they were playing the 49ers.
Frank Gore out here 34
he was like,
years
he was like...
Frank Gore is out here 34 years old, carried 10 times and just quit. And I would have too. I would have sat my 34 year old butt on that bench and called it a game. No, you're gonna put somebody else out there to get beat up and to catch passes from Scott Tolzien.
Bro, the first pick six, it wasn't there. The dude, I mean, T.Y. was open, but everybody in the world knew he was
going to
drop
balls.
It's
just so predictable. Once again, the reason I can't give it to Tolzien is because I expect nothing from Tolzien. Tolzien is garbage. Like, I expect you might as well put Akili Smith out there for me. Like, honestly.
Nah, man. Nah, we're not going to disrespect Akili Smith. Scott Tolzien walked out there in an NFL uniform like a grown-ass man and going to throw an air ball, underthrow an air ball to T.Y. Hilton, where the corner didn't even have to open up his hips. The corner just turned around and the ball landed in his hands. He didn't have to fight for it. He didn't have to go stretch for it. He didn't have to do none of that. Scott Tolzien lobbed up a pass I would throw at team football while we was playing at Homewood Park.
I really hope that Brissett has been studying that playbook. Please throw him out there. Let's see what he has.
Look, man, go sign what's his name out of retirement, the old punter.
Dorsett's in New England though.
Look, sign what that boy name?
No, I said Jacoby Brissett.
Oh, no, yeah. Oh yeah, Brissett, yeah.
Go find what Jeff George doing.
I think Brissett might be a little underrated.
Yeah. I'm fed up. I'm watching these highlights. How you get picked off in the flat? How? You had two defenders on either side of your receiver, and you stared at that nigga and threw it straight to him. How?
He's out here throwing
like you hit the X button too many times, trying to run the play at the line of scrimmage on Madden and just throw the ball as soon as the ball hikes.
He might have been scared.
You know what I'm gonna say? Sign Kaepernick, but you know. We'll get to that.
Don't even put him in that situation, you know, with Chuck Pagano, who has no idea what he's doing, and Jim Irsay, a damn drunk. Don't even put him in there.
How long is Andrew Luck hurt?
For the Colts' sake, they better pray he's back in 2 weeks.
He saw this game, and he was like, I'm good, bro.
He's like, I'm good, bro. Just send me to Jacksonville.
I feel like Andrew Luck is made of glass.
If we're keeping it 100, Andrew Luck is not everything that he has been hyped up to be. But that's another discussion.
No. Let's get into this now. Okay. No. Okay. All right. Let me stretch out. Okay.
Okay.
For one, Andrew Luck.
Hold on. Why did you have to make that noise? What was that, brother?
That's my stretch, man. I'm getting ready. Let me get into this.
That's
all right.
Basically coach stretch.
Yeah. All right. For one thing, Andrew Luck makes some incredibly bonehead plays. Like, bro, you cannot. I don't care how big you are. I don't care if you fucking look like Frankenstein's monster. Like, you can't drop your shoulder into a linebacker and think everything cool like this. The Pac-12. He leads the league in active quarterback since he came in turnovers, and that's fumbles and interceptions. And I don't care what y'all say, like, he still hasn't had a season that's even half as good as RG3's rookie season. So why is the perception, and for what it's worth, I think Andrew Luck is still a pretty good quarterback, but why is the perception is at the cusp of being like an elite quarterback? He's not. He's a mid-tier quarterback.
I thought he was at first.
He had that good year after they got real paid, and he made it look like they were geniuses. So he's going to forever be in this shadow of pain, and he's putting up numbers. You know, they give him in there, which is kind of true, but people don't really think of T.Y. Hilton. Like, T.Y. Hilton also does what Odell Beckham does for us, but like, all of that they run, man, T.Y. Hilton, he does that for us. But, so,
man.
And I know they have defensive woes, but I feel like they should be so much better than they are right now, because, I mean, okay, true enough, like, okay, they don't have a steady running back, but teams have done more with less. I mean, you have T.Y. Hilton and you have Dante Moncrief. Like, that's a better duo than most teams have. For some reason, I know a lot of it falls on Chuck Pagano, but at the same time, like, damn, Andrew Luck makes some terrible plays.
No, it's about 60% on Pagano, and I'll tell you exactly what has saved Pagano's job was his fight with cancer a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I'm saying that simply because I feel like it's being 100% real. It's the fact that they didn't, Ursay didn't want to look like and asked to fire this guy who had been through that, and he did deserve another year or two to try and, you know what I'm saying, get things kind of back under his feet. But he's had time, and I feel like last year there was the excuse of the GM, and now this year you went and load up with talent, and then you trot out Scott Tolzien, because It's not like Andrew Luck is mid-career Peyton Manning, where Peyton Manning didn't go down. You don't care if Curtis Painter is backing up Peyton Manning in 2004, because Peyton Manning isn't going down. Andrew Luck has a tendency to go down, so you have to have an insurance policy. Yeah. And for you to think that Scott motherfucking Tolzien is going to be your insurance policy?
But hold on. The Colts have some power in Andrew Luck going down, too. Like, I know he makes those ball and play. But also, they never protected him. And if I remember correctly,
didn't he play with,
like,
a rib or
something? Like, it was something similar. I know that's what I heard. But it was something similar.
Like, they
played
through
that. Like,
you
don't
I believe it. Yeah,
a quarterback do that.
Like, it's not. Yeah, I will say this about Andrew Luck. Like, if he has to miss a game, it's because, like, he probably can't move. He's immobile, like, because he's tough as hell, but at the same time he's
fragile.
He's too tough at times. That tough.
Listen, they're gonna end up trying out Andrew Luck to a game in a wheelchair like Paul Pierce in the NBA final. And
Andrew Luck is an iPhone, man. He tough.
I got a trivia question. I got a trivia question for y'all.
What that?
Okay.
I think it was his rookie season with the year. Okay, the year Chuck Pagano was out. Who was the offensive coordinator / interim coach?
Bruce Arians.
There we go. Answer every question about Andrew Luck that you need to know.
Yep. I mean, that season revived Bruce Arians' career as far as head coaching candidacy. He wasn't getting looks that he should have been getting.
If Andrew Luck was in Arizona right now, how well is he doing?
Oh, he's a MVP candidate if he can stay healthy. Okay. That's the thing with Bruce. If you can fit in Bruce's skill set, if Bruce can make us sit up here and talk about how Drew Stanton could be a legit starter in his system, then you know something. And you know, I'll use this as an extreme example. You know, this is my boy. You know, we went to school together. But Joe Webb could be in Bruce Arians' system, and he would have Joe looking like a Pro Bowl quarterback. Because he fits in his skill set. Bruce Arians is one of the best offensive minds in the game. Like, I'm convinced you could put almost anybody under his command except for Scott Tolzien, and they would look like a legitimate NFL quarterback. They would look, he could at least get them looking like a Pro Bowler. In the same instance that, like I said, Kyle Shanahan could have Brian Hoyer looking really good again. People who are really good at the X's and O's, they can make stuff like that happen.
All right. Side note, Alex Jones hot take for the week. The Colts are going to finish with the number one pick in the draft at the end of the season.
I don't know, man. It's still looking like the Jets to me.
Not so fast, my friend.
The Jets have nothing. The Jets have absolutely nothing.
Yeah,
to look forward to.
But yeah, but the Colts gave up 46 points to the Rams. So which one is really worse?
14 of those were Tolzien's fault. No, not even 14. 28 of those came off turnovers.
Okay, 20 to the once again to the Los Angeles Rams once again. If you make Jared Goff look competent, something's wrong.
It's gonna be between them and the Saints.
Okay, I can't say Goff is going to be like amazing, but here's the thing: Goff played in the air raid system in Cal. Sean McVay is his offense is like vertical. Like at times he had four or five receivers out there. Goff was in his home environment right there. That's the shit he likes to do. Those are the looks he likes. So I think Goff is just more comfortable doing the shit he wanted to do. So that's why he looked better. Like, I'm not saying he's a great quarterback, but he's the ideal. So if you put a quarterback in.
I don't think I've ever seen a quarterback be more terrified of the play action than Jared Goff. I'm dead serious. If you go back and watch this film from last year, anytime they ran a play action or anything like that, like in the beginning of the year, you see him try and execute the actual, the actual handoff fake, and he'd come up, he'd make his first read, and then he's panicking. Midway through the year, he wasn't even trying to even make it look like a possible fake. I mean, he was like T-Rexing the football out there, and he turned around. There's a defender in his face because nobody believes he's handing the ball off. I think you might be right in that sense that McVay can probably fix that in a sense that he can spread the ball out more, and well, not even spread the ball out more, but make it look like they're spreading the ball out more, because it's not like he has a lot of receivers to throw to. So I think he'll look better. I think Lewis Riddick said it best. He's going to improve. He's got the mindset to improve. And he's got a coach that can help him improve. But I don't think he's going to be I don't think he's ever going to be worthy of that number one pick. He's going to have a career trajectory of Alex Smith, and that's not a bad career. But it's not worthy of the number one
pick. It's
not. Alex Smith heard us talk about this.
He did, man. He heard me call him a broke ass Chad Pennington, and he got fed up.
Don't drink the Alex Smith Kool-Aid. Like, I'm glad Alex Smith had that game, but don't let this man lie to you.
He's not gonna do this again until like week 11. No, yeah. Alex Smith was supposed to have arrived after that New Orleans Saints playoff game. That was the greatest game we have ever seen Alex Smith play, and he has not come anywhere close to doing that since until last week.
You may see him do what he did Thursday, probably Sunday. I'm not going to even lie to you.
Speaking of Sunday, let's go ahead and drop our picks. Let's go ahead and preview and drop our picks. And let's start with Thursday night's matchup of the Texans at the Bengals. Oh, my God. This is terrible.
I don't even know.
This game really might be like 6-3.
14 picks thrown in this game.
When teams like that play,
Courtney, man, you gonna put the phone to your ear or something?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, my bad. Yeah, but you know when teams like that play, they end up being in the same situation. So it probably be. I said that game would be like 21-14 or something like that, but I have no idea who he's at.
Flip a coin.
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh.
I'm just gonna go ahead and pay Houston. I don't know why.
I don't know what Bengals is
at all. Ron, who you got?
Yeah, Houston, man.
This is going to be a terrible game. Alex?
I think Houston was drunk last week. I'll go with them this week.
Okay. Let's move on. Cleveland at Baltimore. Ron, we'll start with you.
Snatching this one away.
You said what?
Cleveland is snatching this one away. I got Cleveland.
Oh, hot take, really? Ron. Hot take, Ron.
That's a blazing take, boy.
Oh, shit. What's going on? Alex, who you got?
Did y'all drink Henny before y'all came on the show today or something?
I'm a believer in Deshaun Kaiser, the greatest quarterback of all time.
Man, give me Baltimore. If Cleveland makes it close, I'll be impressed with it. Give me Baltimore.
Hit the damn button. I'm going with Cleveland.
Cleveland's defense is underrated.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's do it.
Hit the button. I'm going Cleveland. I'm going Cleveland. Sound the alarm.
Is Miles on the play?
Look, man, Joe Flacco. Sure. You ask who's gonna play?
Miles.
Oh, what? I don't
know. No, he's not because he got hurt like right before the season started.
Okay, so yeah, maybe no Miles, but yeah, you know what? Because Baltimore's offense is kind of suspect to me, so I think that's why I'm going with Cleveland. I think the Cleveland's offense can do just enough to make it a tight game. I think they can take it.
Yeah. The Bengals. I mean, the Ravens tried really, really, really hard to lose to the Bengals, even though the Bengals were that bad.
I mean, Dalton threw four picks, and the Ravens only won by 20. So yeah.
He threw three of those picks. That lets you know
everything you need to know about the Ravens. Like, they didn't put since he was handed the ticket, they were like, nah. You're just gonna put it that
way. You know?
Right.
Okay, let's go Chicago at Tampa Bay. Let's start with you, Courtney. I know where you're going, but let's go ahead and get you out of the way.
I'm going to say Tampa, but I don't think it's going to be easy. Like, I didn't think that the Bears were just going to lose to Atlanta like that, because they got a good run game, they got a good offensive line, and teams like that can stay in games.
Alex?
I'm going to go Tampa Bay. I think the extra week off will make them a little bit rusty, but I think the talent, like, level is just too much for Chicago to keep up with them.
Hot take, Ron.
Yeah, I'm taking Tampa Bay, but let me just go in. Like, who saw that coming?
Say that again. You kind of went out at the beginning of that.
Oh, it's from the Bears. Like, who saw that coming? I mean, they have they have Jordan Harik. You know, he had a pretty good game too.
Oh yeah, he was solid. A couple of huge runs that kept him in the game. And I will give credit where credit is due, even though he is recycling bin level trash. Mike Glennon had a great fourth quarter.
He actually did.
Yeah, he had
a floor. Like, I wasn't.
He had a great fourth quarter. He was terrible. Well, not even terrible. He was not effective the other three quarters. Couldn't stretch the field or anything. And I think that was more credit to Atlanta's secondary and the way they played. But in the fourth quarter, he started hitting lightning. So I will give it to him. I think that he'll stave off Trubisky as long as possible. And I think that running game will help them win some games they're not supposed to win. But this ain't one of them. I think it's Tampa. Oh, this should be a good one. Vikings at Steelers.
Ooh.
Alex is going first. Steelers. On to Steelers.
I'm gonna go Steelers. Damn.
So you're all on the Steelers, huh?
We didn't talk about T.J. Watt last week, and then his brother did.
I'm taking Minnesota. By the way, I'm going to take them in an upset. I don't know why, but I feel it in the gut. I feel like if Minnesota continues to run the ball, this Pittsburgh defense, as we've established, is not that great, especially in the receivers that they're going to face with, like, Thielen and Diggs. Thielen, not even using the coded wide receiver terms, he's not even sneaky fast. The dude is quick. He's quick off the ball. And he can, if you put him in the right one-on-one situations, he's going to beat whoever's covering him.
He's like 6'2".
Yeah, exactly.
He's like Brandon Stokely reincarnated, almost.
He is Brandon Stokely reincarnated. That is absolutely right. And so with that being said, I do believe that Minnesota can get Pittsburgh down the field a couple of times. I don't know if Pittsburgh offense really just kind of had a bad outing and just kind of stalled out a little bit to start the season. But I didn't see enough explosiveness out of them. And Minnesota is good enough to kind of keep that in check as well. So I think you're talking low scoring. You're talking like a 23, you know, 23-14, 23-17 game. But I'm going to take Minnesota. Okay.
You said you feel that in your gut.
Yeah, I feel it in my gut. I feel it.
You need some Pepto-Bismol.
Y'all got to stop playing Sam Bradford. Lots of y'all, I know that.
I can't believe that y'all can miss them, like, but I can't stand the price.
We should have got more out of them. We should have raised the price up on them.
Should have.
That was highway robbery, man.
All right, let's go to, I think we're pretty much all going to be the same across the board on this one. New England at New Orleans.
We don't even have to pick this.
Yeah, let's go ahead and fill it in. Philadelphia at Kansas City.
I'm taking the home team, but not because I'm a homer. I just feel like our defense is going to... No, Kansas City has a good defense, but I still don't think their defense is fucking with ours.
Okay, you don't literally mean the home team. You mean your team. Okay.
Yeah. I meant like the phrase the home team, not like literally. Yeah.
Okay, my bad. Continue, Alex.
Man, just like Ron, I'm a big Eagles fan as well. I'm definitely going with Kansas City on this one. No. Specifically because I think one of the biggest things that hurt the Eagles last week was the fact that Ronald Darby is out for a while. And if Alex Smith has one of those weeks, I mean, do you really trust you got Tyreek Hill, you know, against Jalen Mills? Not disrespecting him, but right now I can't be confident in that. So that's why I'm going with
Okay, Jalen Mills is in the burner. Like, he's kind of slow, but he had an awesome game last week. Like,
he did have an awesome game against Terrell Pryor.
The best defense against Tyreek Hill?
Who?
Putting Alex Smith's face into the dirt. That's what, you know, we're going to do because
that's a good point.
Eagles half is top three front four this year when you look at it.
Chris Long, already paying off dividends.
Jernigan, he's a great addition. Fletcher Cox is possessed once again.
I mean, Brandon Ingram may be the best outside linebacker in the NFL.
Hey, man, shout out to Nelson Aguilar.
I don't know what he's been doing.
I told people he was going to be a lot better this year.
But shout out to him for showing up.
As much as I want to pick him, I'm not feeling the Eagles beating the Kansas City Chiefs this week. I'm not.
Mm-hmm. Courtney, who you got?
The Eagles defense, honestly, it scares the fact that they got, to me, one of the best people on the great.
I'm gonna side with Alex for Kansas City. I don't think you're gonna get the offensive clinic that Alex Smith attempted to put on last week, but I do think you're going to see their running game control the clock. I think that you're going to, I don't know. I wasn't too impressed with Carson Wentz last week, and he did a great job, but I feel like there were a lot of plays that he missed, and I don't know if he'll get that same opportunity against Kansas City.
Is that why you put him as tier C?
Yes, I did. I put him as the definition of average. Because of what he is. He's the definition of an average quarterback. he might be able to win you a game every once in a while like he just did, but for the most part, so yeah. Tennessee at Jacksonville. I think this one will be pretty straightforward for y'all.
Tennessee.
Anybody believe in the Bortles?
Bortles played better against Houston, but yeah, Tennessee sold like a better team.
And here's the thing, Allen Robinson out for the year, so it's all downhill from here.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But that defense looked very good, though. Defense last week did very good.
It did. But if you're the Titans, it's now or never. I mean, this division is sitting wide open for you to just take. The Colts are probably going to be 0-6 before Luck gets back. Houston can't get it together with their offensive line. Your only competition right now is freaking Jacksonville, and they just lost their best deep threat. So you got to. Yeah, I mean, you have to win this game. You have to win this game. Otherwise, we're looking at a Jacksonville, a 2-0 Jacksonville team that has a secure lead on the division. Like, I just want you to imagine that. 2 weeks in, show of hands, Jacksonville sole owner of first place in the AFC South. Nobody.
And with a starting quarterback named Blake Bortles.
Blake Bortles. I'd have believed really in the champion.
For that win, like, but that's what they wanted, though. They wanted Fournette to carry the ball 16 times for 100 yards. Blake Bortles minimized, had the need for Bortles to drop back pass. So they got what they wanted in that first game. But I mean, Tennessee's front seven is better at stopping the run. Well, I can't say they're better than Houston because So I don't know. I just don't know. It's a lot of new matchups.
Okay.
I think we're all going to be across the board on Arizona over Indianapolis.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I think we're all
going to
be
still playing.
He's still playing. I think we're all going to be across the board on Oakland over the Jets.
Yes.
And I think we're all going to be across the board on Seattle over San Francisco. Well, no, because San Francisco tends to trip them up, but. Is everybody across the board on Seattle over San Francisco?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the Rams that trip up Seattle, not San Francisco. So, yeah, never mind. All right, so let's go Buffalo at Carolina. Ron?
Panthers.
Alex?
I think I'm going to go Buffalo in this one. I don't know why. I'm going to go Buffalo.
And Courtney.
Cam.
All right. I think we'll go Carolina, too. Tyrod did not play like himself last week, and I know he's, you know, coming off of a literal brain injury. However, there was something that was lacking about that Bills offense, or Carolina Juniors, they're calling them. So, I'm going Carolina. Let's move on to the Miami Dolphins versus the LA Chargers. Who you got?
Cutler.
Oh gosh. I'm still mad at this dude as an NFL quarterback. I don't know. But give me Miami though anyway. Give me Miami.
I am so happy that we get to renew the Phillip Rivers Jay Cutler rivalry. It's like it's as if Jay Cutler just thought he ran away from this guy forever.
Bruh, and now he's back. That's one of the greatest rivalries of all time. I'm so glad it's back. I don't know who's gonna win this one. I think the X factor in this game is if Jay Ajayi gets off. You know, if he has a good game, then Dolphins easily. That means Cutler doesn't have to do a lot, but you know, if I don't have a lot of confidence in San Diego, well, not San Diego, Los Angeles to stop him, but I'll go Dolphins.
Anthony Lynn is your cool ass uncle, who's sort of in shape and plays tennis, and be trying to get you to play tennis, but he don't realize that you ain't got no interest in tennis. I think Anthony Lynn is going to be the coach that can get this franchise back to where Marty had it before he was unceremoniously fired for going 14-2. And I don't know if that's going to be this year. I think they'll kind of work through the kinks this year. I think he'll be the one that makes the move to let Phillip go. But I think this is a game that just kind of shows the potential that they can have, like last week. And Denver is a better squad than Miami, so I'm gonna give Los Angeles the win on this one. Let's move on to Washington at the Los Angeles Rams.
Neither.
Whoever the Redskins are playing, the opposing team is going to win. So Rams.
Kirk could, I guess. Is Aaron Donald playing?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah. Is he coming? Is he?
I thought I saw something saying that he was back.
Yeah, he's back. He just joined the team this week, if I'm not mistaken.
Rams are going to freaking be 2-0. I'm taking Rams.
Yeah, I'm going to go Rams too.
What is happening?
I can't believe
it.
I ain't doing it.
You're going to finish 2-0 and finish 2-14.
You're going to have to show me. I ain't doing it. This one will be fun.
They got Sammy somewhere where they actually like.
I mean, I'm with it.
Actually, speaking of the Rams, let me throw out an apology because, you know, during draft season, I'm driving, by the way, so if you hear a lot of background noise, that's what it is. But anyway, but yeah, I used to trash Cooper Kupp. I didn't think he was that good. I thought he was really slow. But Cooper Kupp is a really good wide receiver.
Cool.
Oh, so you done? That was all.
Yeah, he had a good game, and he showed out like all preseason. Like I didn't see that coming, so I went up because I was like, if the Eagles draft Cooper Kupp, I'm done with the Eagles. And shit, now I wish we would have because, behind Alshon and Nelson Aguilar of all people in Hurts, we don't really have a lot of receiving options.
That the UNC kid.
Matt Collins.
I don't know. I don't see it for him. I mean, he'll be okay, but he's never going to be, you know. I don't think he'll ever be a starter. Like, he'll be an okay guy.
I feel like the Eagles got a fantastic tight end core, though, too. Give me Ertz and Trey Burton, like, all day.
Ertz, Burton, and Celek, like, yeah. Most teams don't even have one tight end that good.
Give me all of them.
Ingram
was still able to show flashes in our terrible, terrible loss.
And
B.J. Goodson. B.J. Goodson was a good thing for us. We finally got a linebacker. He had like 13
tackles.
Yeah, B.J. Goodson was all over the place.
Yeah. So,
like, I saw that nigga on Insecure finale, you know.
I did. He was on there? I haven't seen
him. No, I'm joking.
Oh. Oh, yeah, he's all over. But, yeah, he was throwing a lot, though. I don't even know why they set him last year, but I guess it's good. I will say I like Wood. Since Spags has come back, I like all of the players that we got re-signed and acquired defensively that fit his scheme.
Okay. So, on this one, because I think this one's going to be really fun, Dallas at Denver. Who you got?
Interesting, yeah.
I will edit
that
out.
That's a hard one.
Because I still don't think Dallas is going to be that great this year. Especially when
what's Dez going to do against Tlaib and Chris Harris?
Absolutely nothing. Like, because because Dez was in the pocket all night. Like, Jackrabbit had Dez in his pocket, man. Like, he couldn't do anything.
Not a damn thing.
That's fun to watch.
People bring up that one play where Jenkins fell. where they should have really got a touchdown out of the play, though. Like, Jenkins fell off the line, and Dez was just wide open, and Dak wasn't even looking at him. But they're not realizing that Dak's not looking at him because he's been getting clamped. He can't be the first look when he didn't beat like that at the line.
Like, I wouldn't even look at Dez as my first option anymore.
Man, but that catch that 11 Beasley made, man. That right there was my man. That one game. Like, that was, that extended the drive, and that was the drive killer. Even though Dale was on the sideline laughing about that catch, that catch was not.
So yeah, I think I'll go Denver with this one.
Yeah, I think Denver too.
Yeah, because
if they can stop Elliott, but Elliott seemed like he's bad. He's running hard.
Because one of the most underrated players in the league right now, and I didn't see this coming when he first came into the league, CJ Anderson. Like, he's become a really good running back. Like, and yeah, he used to be like one of the guys, but now he's a really legit running back. So I think I'm going Denver with this one.
All right. Alex?
I'm going to go Denver, but it's going to be close. I'm going to go like 31-28, but I get an edge to the home team. Simeon is not as bad as I thought he was.
No, okay, so that was going to be my point, because I feel like Simeon played pretty well, with the exception of about the third quarter during that game. He played pretty well, and that's the exact way that Denver needs him to play if they want to make a playoff run. Because, I mean, we know Oakland's winning the division, but they can overtake Kansas City down the road. Surprisingly, we're all across the board on Denver on this one. I'm going to take Denver, too. Sunday Night Football. I'm interested to hear y'all.
I have been a Trevor Simeon.
You know, I root for the underdog. So, I'm happy that he took the job out of nowhere. You know, dude from Northwestern, not really a highly touted quarterback going into a perfect situation. He was decent last year too. He just underperformed quite often, and that was the issue to me. But the game last night, he seemed to really be in tune to really be able to go through his reads to not panic under the rest. He had, like I said, everything except for that third quarter was pretty strong.
Like, he was good.
Okay, so let's move to Sunday Night Football. I want to hear y'all's takes on this one. We got an NFC Championship game rematch, Green Bay at Atlanta.
Oh, I'm going to go with AR-12. Sorry, Ryan.
That's all right, I ain't mad.
But only because, I mean, like I said before we were, the season even started, I believe in y'all second week, and they seem to be getting insane.
Who did Courtney go with?
He went Green Bay.
I think it's going to be a lot. I think this game is going to be a lot like the playoff game, honestly.
You really think so?
Yeah, the 2010 one.
Oh.
I'm going Green Bay as well.
Ron
left, I think.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he's out.
Oh, we can try and re-add him in a little bit. But either way, all right. I'm going to go, and this is really not homerism as much as y'all going to say it's homerism. I'm going Atlanta.
Reason being,
the defense has improved. My biggest question mark for this team is how Sark calls these plays to stretch the field, because we didn't do a lot of that against Chicago. We had a couple of major deep plays, but they were plays that broke down and Matt Ryan was able to find Austin Hooper.
who laid the stiff arm of the century.
So to me, I think with this Atlanta defense being a little bit more improved, I think with this Green Bay really hasn't defensively changed since last season. I feel like there's a stalemate on that front, but I feel like Atlanta is strong enough to pull it out at the end, especially with it being the home opener in Atlanta. I think there's just a little bit of an edge there, but it's a close game. I mean, and we're probably talking about a 38-35 game to me.
Oh, very. Yeah.
So, okay. And let's move on to Monday Night Football. And this one might hurt Courtney a little bit. We got Detroit at New York.
This is honestly a toss-up for me.
Yeah, me too, seriously. I'm like, not even trying to get home. Like, you never know what Detroit, you know. And I don't think that they, I didn't think that Dallas had a good time, but we were able to, I mean, I know they slashed it, but we were able to hold it towards the end of the year. So I just don't know, man. Matt Stafford, though, have we talked about how Stafford has been home in the fourth quarter?
Yep. And that was his biggest... the biggest gripe people had against him up until last year.
Yeah. I didn't think
in the fourth quarter for like over a year now.
It's for that reason I'm going, because I think it's going to be closer than people expect. Detroit doesn't, the best part about Detroit up until you know, they started mounting the comeback was the defense. And I think if they can get pressure on Eli, they can run away with it. But I think the Giants can maybe rectify a few of those issues up front and keep it close. But I do like Detroit in a close game.
I'm going to go the Giants just because I think they'll bounce back on Monday Night Football. Give me NYG.
That means a lot coming from you.
Oh, man, anytime, bro.
All right, and Ronnie has picked Atlanta and Detroit. So we are split on the primetime matchups. So that's the week 2 rundown. Those are all the matchups for week 2. So before we get out of here, we like to give everybody a chance to give their own hot take. So just 60 seconds to spit whatever hot fire is on your mind. Alex, we will start with you.
Okay. We haven't talked about college football at all during this show. But... you know, I love college football probably more, a little bit more than I love the NFL. Oklahoma, very, very impressive this weekend. And here's my hot take. Oklahoma, even though they beat Ohio State, is not going to win the Big 12. I think it is going to go to Oklahoma State this year. Lincoln Riley doing really, really well to start off. Baker Mayfield looking fantastic. But I'm still going to go with Oklahoma State to win the Big 12. I just feel like they're going to beat like Oklahoma in their matchup. And I think also another hot take, with the way that college football has gone so far, this will be the second time in history that you will see a 2-time Heisman winner. Yes, Lamar Jackson is that good.
So, all right. My hot take. Courtney? Courtney, what you got?
I think my hot take is... I think that the Vikings are going to end up with a top 5 pick. And I hate to say that because Cook is there, but I don't think that this is going to last with Bradford. Like, I just don't know. I just got a feeling. But I know it's blazing, blazing, blazing hot. Maybe not top 5, but definitely top 10.
Okay, then. I have 2 takes, one of which is on the field, and the other one is off the field. And one has to do with, college. So, of course, Alex and I are both UAB guys. We both graduate, or well, I graduated from there. Yes. He's on his way to graduating. And people are going to look at that UAB. People are going to look at that UAB Ball State score, and they're going to be like, "Oh man, the Blazers got the brakes beat off them." But this was really a team that went somewhere they weren't supposed to be after, you know, basically giving themselves a death penalty. And they played hard. They held a lead in the third quarter. And, I mean, of course, it fell apart a little bit. But that's going to be one of those things that Bill Clark is going to just have to teach his team. Being able to stay in those games, being disciplined. You could see kind of the air go out the bag when that kick return happened to match them in the fourth quarter. But I do really want to commend them on the job well done. I think they'll be 2-1 after this weekend against Coastal Carolina. And I think there's a lot to cheer for if you're a UAB fan, because I think the expectation this year was to win, you know, 3, 4, 5 games on a, you know, realistic standpoint. And Bill Clark's having this team overachieve again. Off the field, I want to say that I think Tony Romo can go down as one of the greatest all-time commentators when it's all said and done. I know it's only been one game, but honestly, I think when Tony learns how to break down what he's seeing to the audience, it could really, really go a long way towards how he's seen. I just got a book. Shout out to my boy Jared with the with SB Nation. It's by Pat Kerwin, and it's called Keep Your Eye Off the Ball. And it basically is showing you how to identify these things in the broadcast. I can watch some stuff on All 22, but it's hard to catch certain things on the broadcast because of the angles are made and designed for television. But if Tony can break that down and he can show people some of those things, he can go down as a GOAT, broadcasting wise.
Gary Danielson.
Oh God, no. No, not Gary Danielson. So with that being said, that concludes our week one recap on Hot Takes. This podcast should be up tomorrow, hopefully, along with my week one power rankings. So they'll drop in the same post. As always, you can follow us on Twitter, Hot Takes KWC. You can follow Courtney on Twitter at Courtney Hendricks. That's Courtney with two E's, Hendricks. You can follow Alex at A Christian Jones, Ron at Ron Quixote, Ron underscore Quixote. You can follow me at Eagle Eye 1906. And of course, you can follow the Kids Wear Crowns at the KWC blog. Make sure you go to the website, kidswearcrowns.com, buy a shirt, feed into our revenue so we can pay WordPress or whoever we decide to have hosted over the next year, and we can upgrade our capabilities. So for Courtney, for Alex, and for Ron, who abandoned us when he got in the car, I want to say thank y'all for tuning in, and we'll catch y'all next time.
Peace. If it need make my hip limp, I'm going fishing with these little bitty strip dips. And my bankroll kinda big dip. Woo. She gon' bring it on a big ship. Quite trail, no quick trip. I got dubs in the alley, no tip. Yeah. Woo. She ain't wanna have a good day. What? Smoke way more weed than the guy in LA. That. I hold them birds till next May. Damn. Never let them fly away. What? What my nigga tip say,
hey, money, yeah. Don't be blowing me up, nigga, I ain't getting no.
If it ain't about the money,
ain't no use to you ringing my line. Stop wasting my time.
If it ain't about the money,
nah, I can't even hear what you say. I ain't finna do shit.
If it ain't about the money,
bitch, you can miss me with it. Bitch, nigga, miss me with it. Turn it, hey. Turn it,
I'm packing 11, I'm packing 11.
I boom, turn.
I'm riding the gator, my shoes are deceptive.
Shut up. What they say?
I'm slant like the reverend, I shoot at the reverend.
Hey,
pants out the grocery store, they stuff with lettuce.
Hey,
she try make the extras, I tell on these bitches. Hey, when it's about time to pay, I'ma bail on these bitches.
Hey, what you think we in the neighborhood about? Standing at the corner store with a pocket full of dough. I be damned if a nigga wipe a hood, ho. Learned that from UGK, back a pocket full of stone. Put your money down like a book of hard folk. You playing with it, I'ma send them through your car, though. My wife flooded, shit sick, got Bravo. I'm doing it for black and yellow, free hard, oh. The head honcho, nigga, no tonto, nigga. I'm quick to put some bricks in a Bronco, nigga. Nigga talk shit while I don't respond at all, nigga. No murder, no dough, no combo. Don't be blowing me up, nigga, I ain't getting no.
If it ain't about the money,
ain't no use to you ringing my line. Stop wasting my time.
If it ain't about the money,
nah, I can't even hear what you say. I ain't finna do shit.
If it ain't about the money,
bitch, you can miss me with it. Bitch, nigga, miss me with it. Turn it,
tap. I pack an 11, I pack an 11.
I boom, turn.
I'm riding a gator, my shoes are deceptive.
Shut up, what they say?
I'm slant like the reverend, I shoot at the reverend.
Hey,
pants out the grocery store, they stuff with lettuce.
Hey,
she try make the extras, I tell on these bitches. Hey, when it's about time to pay, I'ma bail on these bitches. Hey,
what you think we in the neighborhood about? Standing in the trash like good blow. Made a baby, you slain that crack. Brian stole the car while he bang that act. If they ever took a law, better bring that back. Catch it with your bitch, he can blow your brain by that. Hey, know you better be on your bad behavior when addressing me. Nigga, by gun, we don't let them be. Nigga, disrespect me, I'ma catch a felony. For real, if you listen, I can get you paid. But not interested in shit you say. If it ain't about the money, nigga, don't be blowing me up, nigga, I ain't getting up.
If it ain't about the money,
ain't no use to you ringing my line. Stop wasting my time.
If it ain't about the money,
nah, I can't even hear what you say. I ain't finna do shit.
If it ain't about the money,
bitch, you can miss me with it. Bitch, nigga, miss me with it. Turn it. I pack an 11, I pack an 11.
Boom, turn.
I'm riding a Gator, my shoes are deceptive.
Shut up, what the fuck, what they say? Yeah.
I'm sliding like the Reverend, I shoot at the Reverend.
A nigga, boom.
Pants out the grocery store, they stuff with lettuce.
Hey, bro,
hey.
She try make the Astros, I tell on these bitches. Hey, when it's about time to pay, I'ma bail on these bitches.
Aye, what you think we in the neighborhood for? Standing at the corner store with a pocket full of dough. I be damned if a nigga wipe a hood, ho. Learned that from UGK, back a pocket full of stone, nigga.
Don't call it a
podcast.
I've been here for years.
TheKidsWearCrowns.com